This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Circular shaped unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies, this is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And it is Saturday night, and of course, I am back. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and tonight we are going to talk about UFOs, aliens. And if you think that this is a subject that has been talked about too many times, think again, because recent surveys have showed that 77% of Americans believe there are signs of aliens that have visited Earth or UFOs, and only 68% believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Son of Christ. So that means that more Americans right now believe in UFOs than believe what was said in the Bible about Jesus Christ. There are many, many people that have had experiences. There are many, many people that have had paranormal experiences. They have seen flying saucers or other unidentified objects, things out in the ocean. I've had my own experiences. I've never been abducted or anything like that, but I have spoken to people that have. I've had spoken to people that have had very different experiences. And in fact, and I'm going to get my, I'm going to get the opinion of our guest tonight, and I'm going to introduce him in a minute. Stanton Freeman is our guest tonight, which I'll bring on in a minute, and he is the person to ask about this. But there was a cousin of mine that about 7 years ago had a very, very strange experience. And what makes it even weirder is it happened in my house. So it was about seven, eight years ago. It was about 1 a.m. I was completely asleep. And my cousin was in town and was staying overnight in the guest room. And what he told me would happen and what I remember are two different things, because all I remember is him coming into the room, waking me up, very scared. But what he told me was that he was laying in bed and he wasn't asleep. He was just relaxing, thinking, and started hearing a generator type noise, like when someone turns on a industrial air conditioning, something like that. But it wasn't anything he'd heard before. And then it would go away. But then if he focused on it, it would get louder and louder and louder to the point where he thought that everyone in the house could hear it. So a few minutes later, after this generator noise got louder and louder, he started feeling like a presence in the room with him. And again, this is according to my cousin. He claims that within a few seconds, he started being literally pulled into the air. He said he came off the bed approximately 3 to 4 feet when mentally he just sort of disconnected, almost like saying no. He went down back to the bed, and that's when he came in the room, woke me up, and was telling, I'm like, look, calm down, you know, I don't know what's going on. At that point, he says that he and in the guest room is right down the hall. And at this point, he tried to go back to bed. And once again, he had another experience. He said that he was closing his eyes, trying to sleep, and he felt like he was being communicated with by telepathy. He was being told to go onto the roof. And at my house, we have a rooftop deck, and he was being drawn to the roof, but he resisted. And this kind of thing went on throughout the night. I slept through the whole thing. I don't remember any of this. All I remember is him coming into the room. So I've heard these stories not only from other people, but from my family. So I think it's important to talk about to see if this is really real. Are UFOs or aliens, extraterrestrials, are these real? Is the government simply not telling us these things? And if that's the case, why? My guest tonight is Stanton Friedman. He is a nuclear physicist and an author of multiple papers and books. He's devoted most of his adult life to investigating UFOs, and he is credited with being the first civilian to investigate and document the site of the Roswell UFO incident that took place back in 1947. Stan, are you there?
I am here in beautiful downtown Fredericton, New Brunswick, well, Canada, east of Maine.
Well, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning there, so we appreciate you staying up late with us tonight. I'm just going to ask you bluntly, do aliens even exist, or is this just science fiction?
Well, it's not science fiction. Well, there's plenty of science fiction in the world, but I've reached four major conclusions after more than 50 years of study and investigation. One, the evidence is overwhelming that Earth is being visited by intelligently controlled extraterrestrial spacecraft. In other words, some, underlined 25 times, some UFOs are alien spacecraft. Most are not. Just like some people are 7 feet tall. Most are not. The second conclusion is we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate. That is, some few people, you don't keep secrets. I worked under security as a nuclear physicist for 14 years when I was a young lad. And I have bachelor's and master's in physics from the University of Chicago and worked for little companies like GE, GM, Westinghouse, Aerojet General, McDonnell Douglas. So I had some experience with security. I've been to 20 document archives. So I'm saying some few people within major governments have known since at least 47 that indeed some UFOs are alien spacecraft. The third conclusion is there are no good arguments against the first two. And the fourth is we're dealing with the biggest story of the last 1,000 years. I don't say 2,000 simply because I don't want to get into religious arguments and people would insist there are other big stories. But the point is, we have most people, look, I've given over 700 lectures in 50 states, 10 Canadian provinces, and 18 other countries. And so I've had a total of 11 hecklers, of whom two were drunk. And you get that many if you talk about sports, religion, politics, or any of those things.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So I've answered, I figured a couple of years ago, over 60,000 questions. And what I find is that there are more believers than non-believers, but people are not aware of the evidence, and especially the news people aren't aware of the evidence. In my lecture, I talk about, usually talk about five large-scale scientific studies, and I show some slides and stuff, and then I ask how many people have read this. I'm lucky if it's 2% who have read any of them. So it's not a question of lights in the sky. I really don't care about lights in the sky. I do care about physical trace cases. A man named Ted Phillips in Missouri has collected more than 5,000 such cases from 80 countries. He's been at this a long time. These are cases where people see an object on or near the ground, and after it leaves, one finds physical evidence that it was there, the equivalent of footprints, burn rings. In 1/6 of the cases, there are beings associated with the craft. And, you know, after you read your first 100 such cases, it's dull. The same thing is happening all over the planet. There are loads of radar visual sightings. And so we're not talking about, you know, dim lights in the sky. There's an organization called NARCAP, National Aviation Reporting Center for Anomalous Phenomena. That's a mouthful, but... for pilots to report their sightings without fear of their names being released. It's based in California, and Dr. Richard Haynes, who worked for NASA for many years as a scientist, is their chief scientist, and they've collected literally thousands of reports. And, you know, Roswell is not the only crash. And I stumbled on that case in 1978. Was promoting a lecture I was giving at Louisiana State University in Louisiana. near Baton Rouge. And I was supposed to do three interviews. I did the first two. And the third reporter was nowhere to be found. So the station manager is giving me coffee. He's looking at his watch. He knew I had other things to do. He knew the people who brought me to the station. And out of the blue, he says, you know, the guy you ought to talk to is Jesse Marcel. Oh, brilliant investigator that I am. I said, who's he? He handled wreckage of one of those saucers you're interested in when he was in the military. What?
Wow.
You know, that came totally out of the blue. And there was nobody around. He wasn't joking. I said, well, what do you know about him? He lives in Houma. Well, that didn't tell me anything because I didn't know where Houma was. I've been there since to talk to Jesse, incidentally. He's a great guy. You ought to talk to him. The reporter showed up, did the interview. The lecture went over extremely well that night. The next day, I was at the airport early. I called information. Yeah, there was a listing for a Jesse A. Marcel. So I called him and told him about Bill Allen, the guy who had talked to me. And he told me his story. And people have said, well, why did he talk to you? I thought this was all super secret stuff. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but I found out later that Jesse was one of the few people who couldn't deny his involvement. His picture was in a lot of newspapers on July 8th, 1947. His name was mentioned. And I should stress, and it's funny, the nasty, noisy negativists, as I call them, have four basic rules. One is, don't bother me with the facts. My mind's made up. The second is, what the public doesn't know, I'm not going to tell them. The third is, if you can't attack the data, attack the people.
Right, right.
And the fourth is, do your research by proclamation. Investigation is too much trouble. But so Jesse told me his story. I followed up on it. And in the next year and a half, a colleague and I, William Moore, found more than 60 people associated with Roswell. Of course, this is a long time ago, and almost essentially all those people are now dead, not surprisingly, you know.
Yeah, a long time
but
ago.
It got me rolling, and it's an amazing story. My book, Crash at Corona, it's kind of ironic. That's the name of the town where the crash occurred. It wasn't in a town. It was on a ranch out in the middle of nowhere. There's a lot of nowhere in New Mexico for people who haven't been there.
Yeah, a lot of space.
Well, you know, that's not a disparagement of New Mexico. I love New Mexico. I'll be there for this year's annual UFO festival. To give you an example of how interested people are in the subject, the festival will probably draw someplace between 8,000 and 10,000 people. It's in early July. But over last year, a total of 184,000 people visited the International UFO Museum and Research Center in Roswell. Now, when you figure that Roswell is 200 miles from Albuquerque, 200 miles from Amarillo, 200 miles from El Paso, it's not on the way to anywhere. These are people who had to make some effort to go there. They brought their family, so it's not surprising that there's a parade. And we sit around the vendors and the speakers. There will be 3 days of lectures. But when you get that many people coming, that distance, and they come from all over the world, you know there's serious interest.
Yeah, the interest is clearly high for this. As I said at the beginning of the show, that it's up to 77% of Americans now believe that something is happening with UFOs or aliens. And just if you're tuning in late, my guest tonight is Stanton Friedman. He is a nuclear physicist, the author of multiple books and papers. He's credited with being the first civilian to investigate and document the site of Roswell. A tremendous expert on UFOs and aliens. And I want to ask you, you know, earlier this morning, I actually posted something on my Facebook that has just gone berserk here in the last 5 hours. It was about the show tonight, but I mentioned that 3 or 4 days ago that Hillary Clinton had mentioned that if she becomes president, that she would open the books, so to speak, on the, or open the files of what the government has on UFOs, and there's been so much chatter on my Facebook. A lot of it's just bashing, and the hate for Hillary is palpable. And it's, so a lot of taken that opportunity to bash her. But what do you think about that? Do you think that's true? You think she's just saying
that?
Well,
there's no question. She has been saying this for some time. And John Podesta, who's her campaign manager and worked for Bill Clinton, has talked about UFOs for years. And he said a couple of years ago his big regret is that he wasn't able to get the files open, so to speak. Now, remember, Hillary has always made clear that she wants to get the data out, but only if it doesn't impact on national security. And when you stop to think about it, there are some major national security concerns about UFOs. For example, how do the darn things work? How can we build things that work like that? Every military group in the world would love to get its mitts on, you know, craft that can go up, over, down, fast, slow, extremely maneuverable, without noise.
Well, what's wrong if we had that data out there in the public? I mean, wouldn't that stem private business?
Think about that for a minute. Roswell happened. There have been other crashes. Aztec, wonderful new book out about the Aztec incident. There was a crash in the plains of San Augustine, and there have been other crashes. But every government would love to get its mitts on that to try to figure out how they work so we could build things that work like that and duplicate that flying behavior. When you have military equipment, it's just like, you know, when we did all that work on the atomic bomb, we didn't advertise what we were doing. Billions were spent. The facility just to separate uranium isotopes, this is in the 40s now, was built at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. It was a mile long. It pumped uranium hexafluoride gas through tiny little holes on nickel barriers. And because U-235 is a little lighter than U-238, it moves a little faster. Mile-long facility. When it was operating, which was over a year, to separate isotopes, it was using more than 5% of all the electricity in the United being produced in the United States in secret. Mm. And many of the people who worked there had no idea what they were doing. You watch this dial, move this handle when something happens, you know, all that sort of stuff. Secrets can be kept. But we certainly weren't going to tell the Germans and Japanese what we were doing. And there's an old saying, you can't tell your friends without telling your enemies. You know, there are spies.
You just think it would be difficult. You're saying just having the information out there is a risk for other countries or terrorist type cells to get the information. But
yeah, and the kicker here is that there's more to it than just the technology. If we are being visited by aliens, as the evidence from all over the world indicates, I can't say I've spoken in every country, only 18 countries, but it is all over the world that people are interested. That has an impact from another direction entirely. People are going to want, the young people especially, and especially after the Kepler satellite data, are going to want to think of themselves as Earthlings. There is no country in the world that wants its citizens to owe their primary allegiance to the planet instead of that individual government. You may have noticed nationalism is the only game in town on this planet. And in the interest of nationalism, this year, we nice guy Earthlings will spend $1 trillion on things military. United States more than $500 billion. Now, thousands of kids died needlessly of preventable disease or starvation yesterday and the day before and the day before that and the day before that. Clearly, we are not concerned about all getting together and playing nice. We don't seem to want it. And people in power don't want to give up power. I'm sure everybody has noticed that.
Right.
Little guys are big guys. And are we ready, in other words? Think of the impact on religion, on psychology, on technology, There's some very serious questions here.
But Sandin, what would happen if we, you know, I think a former president said this, but I've seen this in science fiction films. If we get the bad aliens that have superior technology and they attack the world, wouldn't that bring us all together then? Because now it's really us against them. So shouldn't that happen earlier, sooner than later? Because if there are known aliens and UFOs and other intelligence out there, there's probably benevolent intelligence. There's probably more sinister.
Well, shouldn't we be prepared
for that?
When you say benevolent, it depends on how you define that. I have some people saying, well, why don't they just land and say, take me to your leader, you know, at the White House?
Right. Yeah.
And why don't they give us technology to make us better here and all that sort of stuff? Look, would anybody looking at the history of this planet, during my lifetime, I was born in 1934, say we're nice guys? I think we're a primitive society whose major activity is tribal warfare. Let's not forget, in World War II, we nice guys killed 50 million of our own kind. That's all over the world. 50 million. We destroyed 1,700 cities, firebombed lots of Japan, all kinds of damage in Europe. And since the war, we have exploded 2,000 nuclear weapons. People look at me, what are you talking about?
Hmm.
We collectively, I don't mean the United States, I mean all the countries
in the world,
have exploded 2,000 nuclear weapons. People tell me, well, I thought it was only a few dozen. No, 2,000. Now, the reason I mention that is not only because it tells you that we're a warlike people, but if we have fission and fusion technology, which we do, we could use those to attack our neighbors. I worked on a study of fusion propulsion for interstellar travel back in 1962 when I was at Aerojet General Nucleonics. And we concluded if you want to go, all you got to do is spend the dough. Well, these programs are big, and many people have no idea how large classified programs can be. For example, when I was working on nuclear airplanes for General Electric Aircraft Nuclear Propulsion Department, Cincinnati, Ohio, I worked there from 1956 to 1959. We employed, in 1958, I haven't checked on the numbers, we employed 3,500 people, of whom 1,100 were engineers and scientists, and we spent $100 million that year.
And
in 1958,
yeah,
that was a lot of money.
Yes, a lot of money now, but that's a tremendous amount of money.
Lockheed spent $10 billion to develop the stealth aircraft. So we're talking about major investments that the people don't know anything about. Neil deGrasse Tyson, a fine astronomer, said in a speech at Penn State University that the proof that the government can't keep secrets is how much we know about President Clinton's genitalia. Got a good laugh, but does it make any sense as an indication of anything? Of course not. And one of the problems that I find as an industrial nuclear physicist as opposed to an academic is the academic world seems to think blithely that, all research gets done in academia, right? Some university, you know, a bunch of graduate students, a few professors. No, lots of research gets done in industry and in the national laboratories. When I was working on fission nuclear rockets, three different organizations tested them out at the nuclear test site in Nevada. I work for Westinghouse Astronuclear Lab in Pittsburgh. Our reactor was produced a power level. All three reactors were less than 8 feet in diameter. Ours, the NRX-A6, if you want a name for it, operated at a power level of 1,100 megawatts. Aerojet had a more flight-type system that was only 1,000 megawatts, but the big daddy was Los Alamos, the Phoebus 2B system, operated at a power level of 4,400 megawatts. That's twice the power of Hoover Dam in something less than 8 feet in diameter. The test was a success.
Amazing.
And, you know, if we want to go, you got to spend the dough. So I'm not saying we should. I don't think we're ready to take on
Well, here's the thing, though. What about why, if there's so much overwhelming evidence, you're saying the evidence is overwhelming that we've been visited, that there's been UFOs, et cetera, then what about the government just saying, yes, this has happened, we have evidence of contact, without releasing any kind of technological secrets, but just acknowledge it, because all these people could then calm down. So everyone's been going on. There's, like you said, you're having a UFO event that's got 8,000 to 10,000 people coming. People want to know the truth.
Well, I'm not saying that that couldn't be done, and maybe that's the way we should do it. I have seen that there has been no pressure to do that. That's why I mentioned about a cosmic Watergate. Let me give you some proof that could be given by the Woodward and Bernstein of this century. The biggest study ever done for the Air Force was Project Blue Book Special Report Number 14. It was published in 1955. The work was done by Battelle Memorial Institute in Columbus, Ohio, a major research and development firm. They operate a couple of the national labs. They looked at 3,201 sightings. There were over 200 charts, tables, graphs, and maps in the report. And they found that 21.5% of the cases could not be identified, completely separate from the 9.3% listed as insufficient information. They did a cross-comparison between the unknowns and the knowns. Probability that the unknowns were just misknowns was less than 1%. Those are the facts. However, the press release that went out, which didn't give the title of the report, didn't mention Battelle, and quoted the Secretary of the Air Force, mind you, Donald Quarles, as saying, on the basis of this study, we believe that no objects such as those properly described as flying saucers have overflown the United States. Even the unknown 3% could have been identified as conventional phenomena or illusions if more complete observational data had been available. Well, they distributed the press release. They didn't distribute the report worth talking about. It wasn't 3%. It was 21.5%. And the better the quality of the sighting, of the best cases, 35% couldn't be identified. So shall I call that deception? Yes. Intentional. And no, because the title wasn't given and nobody's name was used and stuff, nobody asked any questions. But let me give you another example.
Well, Stanton, hold on to that example because we're up against a break. We're going to come right back. This is Truth, Medicine, Politics. My guest tonight is Stanton Friedman, nuclear physicist. We're talking UFOs. We're talking abductions. We will be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
Circular-shaped, unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
Hey, California, want incredibly low prices on more than 400 styles of high-quality floors? Then see the flooring experts at Lumber Liquidators before Tuesday, and we'll cover the sales tax on everything in our stores. We've got incredibly low prices on beautiful hardwood, bamboo, laminate, vinyl, and more, starting at just 69 cents. Plus, the sales tax is on us, but only until Tuesday. When you want quality hardwood, trust the flooring experts and visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you. Valid in California locations only, May 11th to May 17th. 2016.
Are you ready to take your education to the next level? Arizona State University now offers more than 100 top-tier degree programs, 100% online. With ASU's highly ranked online programs, you'll earn the same degree as our on-campus students, with the ability to learn wherever you want, whenever you want. Same world-renowned faculty, same leading education, same global recognition from one of the top universities in the world. Call 1-800-400-0698. That's 1-800-400-0698.
I'm Jamie from Sherman Oaks, and I just graduated with my degree from Arizona State University. I chose ASU because I received the quality education I deserve in the major I wanted, all from my home.
Jamie's not the only one to earn a degree from ASU. There are over 100 degree programs offered 100% online from one of the top universities. Now's the time to learn more about earning your degree online from Arizona State University. Call 1-800-400-0698. That's 1-800-400-0698.
Hi, it's Alan Gervey.
And I'm Carrie Kasem.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice?
Then tune in to Gervey's Law Saturdays at 2 when we open up the discussion and tackle difficult issues in law and life.
That's right. You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Gervey's Law is that anything that can go wrong can also go right. And we go at it with some of the greatest legal minds in the country.
It's the intersection of law and life. Don't miss it. Saturdays at 2 right here on Talk Radio 790 KAVC.
Hi, I'm Carl Deichler, the CEO of Beachbody, and I'm here to tell you about an amazing new way you can start losing weight for free right now. You've probably seen our workout DVDs on TV like P90X, Insanity, and 21 Day Fix. We just launched a beta trial of our new digital video platform, Beachbody On Demand. So while we're testing out this new digital video service, I'm inviting you to use it for free for 30 days. That means you can lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, even 30 pounds without paying a dime. Just text the word trial to 313131, and you can do 30 days of P90X, Insanity, or any of over 400 workouts for free. Now here's the catch. In return, all I ask is you let us know what you think of the service so we can make Beachbody On Demand the best fitness and weight loss site ever created. Just text TRIAL to 313131 and get started for free right now. Again, text TRIAL to 313131.
Message and data rates may apply. Membership fees apply after 30-day trial. Cancel anytime.
Circular-shaped, unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific Coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
and I am back. My guest tonight is Stanton Friedman. He is a nuclear physicist, and he's a ufologist, and we're talking facts tonight, not conspiracy, about UFOs, about abduction, about what the government knows and doesn't want to tell us. And Stan, before we went to break, you were mentioning Project Blue Book. I want to bring up one other thing. I had mentioned before the break also that why don't we unify more towards a threat? Let's say we had an alien, a true science fiction movie, alien invasion. Wouldn't that unify not only the country, but the world? And before you answer that, we already see this war on terror, this war on terror that will never end, that keeps people in fear, that keeps people in place, that keeps people easily controlled. It seems to me the next step in this process to control people and to keep people preoccupied with the fear of terror is what could be better than terror from above. What happens with that when we start getting these red alert terror situations? Instead of it being ISIS, it's some extraterrestrial group.
Well, apparently that's not the way the extraterrestrials play the game, if you will. Let me give you three quick indications of what's really going on. The National Security Agency, NSA, you know, Mr. Snowden's out,
right,
but never says anything. NSA means, you know. We brought suit, a group called Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, brought suit against the CIA and then the NSA way back in the early 80s. And originally, the NSA says we can't release anything because sources and methods information on security, national security matters cannot be released. The CIA finally released about 900 pages of stuff, classified up through secret. And then there were some changes in the regulations and so forth, and to make a long story short, eventually we got the NSA to release 156 pages of top secret Umbra NSA UFO stuff. Wow! The only trouble was you could read one sentence per page. Everything else was whited out. And they don't send you the originals. You can't scrape off the white out, if you will.
Yeah.
Then the CIA, I got to release dozens of pages. They're all blacked out.
Yeah.
Now, that was in the 80s. We didn't get them released until the late 90s. Where is the reporter saying, what is all this stuff? And let me tell you about a man named Carol Bolander. He was an Air Force general, an engineer, working on the lunar excursion module back in the late 60s. And when the University of Colorado recommended that Project Blue Book, ostensibly the only government UFO group, worked for the Air Force, based at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, when Condon's people, University of Colorado, recommended that Blue Book be closed, the Air Force asked General Bolander, like I say, he had nothing to do with Blue Book. He was busy working on the lunar excursion module, and yes, I believe we landed on the moon. And he wrote a memo, which we didn't see until 10 years later, I think probably released by accident, to a guy who made loads of Freedom of Information Act requests, and somebody probably goofed. But anyway, in the memo, Bolander said, reports of UFOs which could affect national security are made in accordance with Joint Army-Navy Air Force Publication 146 or Air Force Manual 55-11 and are not part of the Blue Book system. That's an extraordinary statement. And he went on to say, two paragraphs later, if we close Project Blue Book, the public won't have a place to report UFO sightings. However, as previously noted, reports which could affect national security will continue to be investigated using the procedures designed for that purpose. Well, as I say, I didn't see this until 10 years later. I decided I wanted to talk to General Bolander, managed to find him. It's easier to find people when they're not named Tom Jones or Bill Smith, you know?
Right.
And so I located him and talked to him on the phone. And as far as I know, I'm the only one who did, and you can't do it now. I'd love to have him be a guest on your show, but he's deceased. And I said, look, I had a clearance for 14 years, very interested in your memo. It seems to me you're saying that we have two separate communication channels. One for reports like the one I heard last month of a saucer that went down the runway at a Strategic Air Command base where nuclear weapons were stored. I presume that would be a matter, by definition, for national security. And then if my wife and I are driving down the street and we see a UFO, big deal, people see them all the time. The Mutual UFO Network last year got over 8,000 sightings of UFOs reported to it. And when I check my audiences at the end of my lecture, how many people here believe they've seen what I would consider to be a flying saucer? And typically, it's 10% of the audience, much to their surprise. But then I ask, how many of you reported what you saw? 90% of the hands go down.
Yeah.
So we don't hear the full story. But anyway, Bolander's memo raises the question, okay, where the heck did all the stuff that affects national security go? I believe that stuff went to a group called Operation Majestic 12. Very controversial. We got some documents back in the mid-80s that are, I think there are four genuine ones. There's almost 100 phony ones. It's the genuine ones that matter. And I've written a whole book, Top Secret Magic, M-A-J-I-C, looking at all the arguments against these documents and showing that none of them stand up. So there seems to be an independent organization, accountable only to the president. And how long that remained, I don't know. And certainly the name has been changed. When the name of a classified organization gets released or a project, you change it. I mean, that's the way things work.
Stan, let me ask you, you bring up Majestic 12, and Kelly here in the studio during the break was saying she wanted to ask you a question about that. So I'm going to let her ask you directly about that.
Hey, Stanton, good evening.
Hi.
So I've heard that it was through Majestic 12 at one point that they had planned a staged alien invasion as like the next level terror and unification and buildup of the military-industrial complex. Do you know anything about that?
I've never heard that thing, that notion. Although I will say this, way back when President Nixon was president, I got asked to participate in a television show, went to Washington to do so, UFOs Do You Believe was something like that. And I talked to the people who were putting this whole thing together, and they'd had cooperation from the Nixon White House. They were asked by them because they had done television stuff in some campaigns. And then that got dropped because of Watergate, apparently. It wasn't a good time to dump this on the public when the president was being impeached.
Bad time.
As you can imagine. So there may very well have been plans at that time to release. But who makes the decisions? I am not a conspiracy buff or conspiracy theorist, and I never considered when I was working under security that keeping my mouth shut about classified matters was part of a conspiracy. I agreed to do that. That was part of my job. You sign pieces of paper. Not a conspiracy. You know, when the first atomic bomb was tested in New Mexico, lots of people saw it because it was visible from 100 miles away. And a press release finally got put out in a couple of days saying that an ammunition dump had blown up and fortunately nobody was injured. This is less than a month before the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I don't blame them for keeping that secret.
Well, you bring up nuclear weapons, and we've had a guest on this show, maybe it was a caller, I can't remember, a couple months ago, talk about how they believe that aliens had sort of shut down or prevented nuclear weapons from being detonated or deactivated them. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, certainly happened. There's a man named Robert Salas who was down in the pit, so to speak, the commander at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana. He's got a book out, S-A-L-A-S. I wrote the foreword for the book. UFO shows up over the front gate. The guard calls down to the command center, and he didn't take it very seriously, and he called back in 2 minutes, and he was really upset and distressed and concerned. And then 10 Minuteman missiles went offline, one after the other. Now, theoretically, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. It's set up in such a way that it can happen, but it did. And it's happened more than once, and at several different installations. And it happened in Russia, too, incidentally. There they were activated, which was really scary, and the guy in charge managed to turn them off. But somebody's sending a message here. And as I say, what people don't appreciate is the fact that if you've got control of nuclear fusion, that's what produces almost all the energy in the universe. That's what goes on in the sun and in all other stars, not just a tiny percentage, in all of them. If you have control of nuclear fusion, then you can use it to bother our neighbors. And, you know, people think, oh, somebody, if there's somebody out there, you'll hear people say, oh, they got to be at least 1,000 light years away. Malarkey! Let's look at the facts. Thanks to Kepler, it appears that there's between 1 and 1.6 planets per star. Now, think about that for a minute, and you say, wait a minute, that means within 100 light years of here, there's about 10,000 stars, and therefore about 10,000 planets. A measly 100 light years of here. So the place is teeming with planets. I'm not saying they all have life on them, but remember, too, we're accustomed to being isolated 4.3 light years from the sun to the next star over. But there are stars out there that have a near neighbor well under an eighth of a light year. Let me be specific. In the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case, Kathleen Marden, who's Betty's niece, and I did a book called Captured. I'm looking at a poster for Contact in the Desert. Captured those two, the base stars, were Zeta 1 and Zeta 2 Reticuli. That's the constellation Reticulum. They're 39.3 light years from here, but from each other, they're only an eighth of a light year apart. That's 34 times closer to each other than the sun is to the next star over. And each star is visible from planets around the other star all day long. And one would expect that it would be easy to determine the characteristics of the life on those planets. That's an entirely different world than we're here, isolated thousands of light years from other places. No right. way, Jose.
Well, let me. We've got about five, seven minutes left. I want to just get in a few other things here. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about was abductions. I know you co-written or written a book about abduction. And are you familiar with the late Dr. Roger Lear? I believe it
yes,
was.
I knew Lear and Roger quite well.
Okay. Well, for the audience, he was a physician that got pretty well known because he was removing artifacts.
Implants.
Alien implants. And he got a lot of publicity about this. And there's people that tried to debunk it and everything. I wanted to get your opinion on him. And was this real? Because the videos that I'd seen of him taking these little things out, he was saying that when it was sent to pathology or sent to the lab, there were things that they could not identify.
Yes. Yes. I'm fully aware of the work that he did. He was younger than I am and isn't with us anymore. But, yeah, good research, not well supported outside, but it's there. There's loads of good work out there. That's why I say if the Washington Post set up a cosmic Watergate group in 6 months, you could put together enough to really get people to shiver their timbers because something's really going on out there. And I'll be talking about, I'm giving three presentations or involved in three presentations at Contact in the Desert. And one of them is about interstellar travel. And another is about the big picture. They have fancy names for these things. I'll be there. There'll be thousands of people there. I was there last year. It gets warm down there in Joshua Tree.
Absolutely.
But it was interesting.
Desert. Yeah.
Eric Von Daniken's going to be there, and a number of other prominent ufologists. Jim Mars will be there.
What's it gonna take, Stan, to make the government admit this? So, I mean, there's so much, as you said, there's when that doctor came out and was showing implants are being removed, and he didn't start doing this, according, I mean, you knew him personally, but from what I had read and seen, he didn't start doing this work on purpose. It was sort of a happenstance where he sort of was trying to debunk it, and that's my understanding when he first heard about this and offered to do the first surgery that he did for free. But then he finds this information and it starts to take over, and he's doing more and more. He did more and more and more of these things.
Yes.
What does it take to make the government say, okay, there's aliens?
It takes the press doing its job.
Why aren't they doing their job on this? Why is the press not reporting on this? That seems to me
that's
tangible evidence. I mean,
ask the New York Times. It's kind of funny. In 1952, which was a big year for UFOs, especially over Washington, D.C., I might add, radar visual sightings and so forth, an order was put out to military pilots, shoot them down if they don't land when instructed to do so, which sounds a little weird. Well, there were over 200 plane crashes, fatal plane crashes of military aircraft in the United States after that in the next few years.
Mm.
And five of them were pilots who had served in Korea and had over 100 missions.
Mm.
You got to be a good pilot to survive 100 missions. The Russians had MiGs up there and so forth. Not a bad airplane. They come back to the United States, no MiGs. And the New York Times used the expression about the crashes that disintegrated, disappeared. I've talked to seven people after my lectures who quietly tell me about they were at a military base station there when a pilot went up to chase UFOs and never came back. Now, it is interesting that story about shoot them down if they don't land when instructed to do so didn't appear in either the Washington Post or the New York Times. Now, don't ask me why, but I will tell you this. At the beginning of World War II, a director of censorship was established in the United States less than 2 weeks after Pearl Harbor. One word that couldn't be used, incidentally, was uranium, believe it or not. Another was Fugo balloons. The Japanese sent a bunch of balloons with bombs attached, and we couldn't publish anything. Newspapers couldn't publish anything about whether they caused damage or didn't. They didn't cause a lot of damage, as it happens, but
the government, you're saying the government got involved in censoring the media.
Yes.
And Stan, I want to tell you, we're really close to being out of time here. And what I want to do is want to make sure that we can let our audience know how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah.
See your website. I know it's stantonfriedman.com, but is there any other sites or anything that you'd want to tell the audience?
Well, on my website, that's my website, it lists all the events coming up, and I'll be at Contact in the Desert. I'll be in Roswell. I'll be at several other events that are listed. Tells you how to go there. There's plenty going on. And it lists all my books, too. Because, one thing you get from me that you won't get from Amazon. You can get my books from Amazon, of course, but one thing you get from me is an autograph. Whenever I send out books, I autograph them personally. So one of the books is Flying Saucers and Science, which has some pictures of nuclear rockets even.
Well, then the audience needs to go to stantonfriedman.com. That's stantonfriedman.com. And Stanton, we're out of time. It's
okay.
Great.
They use PayPal on that too, incidentally.
Absolutely. It was great having you on. I appreciate you staying up so late to speak to us. You've been
my
listening.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I will see you at Contact of the Desert. I will be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
You got it. Listen, you've been listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. We will be back next Saturday night with more truth, because truth is medicine that people need to hear. Have a great week. I'll see you next Saturday night.
This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.